The book Hebrews, part 214. I'm Professor Hannes Resenhuis of the First Assembly of Jehovah's Witnesses, South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, or maybe the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rottenham version, the very same Bible that was translated by Dr. Joseph Briant Rottenham in 1860, which makes it the best English stroke Hebrew Bible you can lay your hands on. Today there is no equivalent to that. Should you require it, I have a couple of copies available. You can contact me at my WhatsApp number, or if you have a question or just want to know anything, something to share with me, please do so. Plus 27 is international code 0722 367124. The international code for South Africa. Or just go to my website https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very, very, very welcome. Please go to part one. Start from the beginning, because you missed out on quite a bit of information. It's also very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications of all the studies that we are currently busy with. Make sure that you also share the link with your friends and family. Make sure at least you have a 1611 King James Bible ready, a pen and a notepad. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. What a privilege for us to be able to study the Word of Yahweh as He has given it us to us as the revelation word of Yahweh our Elohim. Hebrews 10 verse 17. Now we're coming back to our scripture, Hebrews 10 verse 17. Now listen to what he says. And their sin. And their sins. Who's the they? It's the Gentiles. And their sins and iniquity, I, Yahweh Almighty, remember no more. Let me just rephrase. I say the Gentiles, it can be the Gentiles, but I think more to the Hebrew people and their sins, the Hebrew people and the iniquities, I, Yahweh Almighty, remember no more. Why? They had the time of the 613 laws of Moses, and it worked. No, it didn't work. Now today, we function under grace, the blood of Yahushua. Verse 18, now where remission, which is forgiveness, of these is, there is no more offspring for sin. You see, according to the Old Testament, there was a gap. There was an open space that actually invited the people of that time, the Hebrew people of that time, to live in sin. Prof, you say what? Yes. The fact that you just had to offer an animal's blood for the remission of your own sin. So the worst you had to do was not repent, but just to make sure you will have a next offer next year, another offer next year to offer for your sins. So there was forgiveness for sin, but they did not repent of their sin. Where in the New Testament, it is something completely different. Why? Because we now are dealing not with the blood of doves and lambs and little goat. We are dealing with the redemption blood of Yahushua, who gave his own life for us. Now, where remission or forgiveness of these things is the sins. There is no more offspring for sin. The door's been closed. Why? Because the Ruach HaKodesh now isn't something that's apart and far off. It's in us. It's functioning. We are aware of it. It's in us. In our, it's not in our hearts, in our soul's dimension. Because Yahweh says, the Father says, He doesn't live in temples built with hands or made by hands. He says your bodies is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, where Yahushua is the foundation and the cornerstone and the capstone. See? So there's no more offerings for sin, because He was offered once. And when we come to repentance, we don't offer ourselves. We are bought by the blood of Yahushua. He owes us, He paid the full price. Our names were called 2,000 years ago. There's a chorus that says, "You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind." We were on Yahushua's mind 2,000 years ago. He gave His life in order for us to live today in 2025. It says in verse 19, "Having therefore brethren," so Apostle Paul is speaking to the Yavis, the bride of Yahushua, "having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest." So what do? We today, as part of the bride of Yahushua, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yahushua. We don't need another high priest. Where the high priests had the authority to go once a year, we can go every day, two times, three times every day. We can enter into the holiest of holiest. How? That means into the presence of Yahweh. What was the holiest of holiest? It was behind the veil. It was the holiest of holiest. But it only occurred once a year, where it is not sufficient. It's not sufficient. When you have a relationship with somebody, you don't visit him once a year or visit her once a year. You can't really develop a association. You need to deal with it on a daily basis. To have a relationship that works. You can't see one another once a year. You want a disaster? Well, just function on once a year. It doesn't work. But this is what the Bible says. "Having therefore brethren," which is the bride, "boldness to enter into the holiest," the presence of Yahweh, "by the blood of Yahushua." Whenever we enter into the presence of Yahweh, we go there through prayer. And what is prayer? Prayer is communication. When, in my prayer life, when I enter into the holiest, although we live in the holiest, we live in the presence, we live in grace, we live in the presence of Yahweh and Yahushua. But when I go in with an offering, I don't just walk in front of the throne and say, like a lot of people does, God, I need this, and God, I need this, and Lord, I need this, and no. We don't use the Babylonian names. And we don't pray that way. How did Yahushua taught his disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. We go and we address Yahweh as our Father. First of all, we bring respect. We come before Him, although He is our Father, we respect Him also as the Creator of heaven and earth. I can, in my whole life, when I was young, never think of once that I didn't spoke to my Father in respect. There was one time that nearly cost me half of my tooth. When I called my Father, I think I was about 14 years old, 15 years old. I called my Father Old Toppy. Now, if you're Afrikaans speaking, you will know what does an Old Toppy mean. Or an Old Bali. It means old man. It's an Afrikaans saying. And it's not really disrespectful. We, as youngsters, used to talk about the Old Toppies, but not my Father. Or an Old Bali. It's somebody else. But I never spoke to my Father in that manner until once. When I called my Father Old Toppy. Now, like I explained before, my Father is massive. He was 6'6" and he was 140 kilograms. He's a massive block of a man. It's all I can remember is when I said Old Toppy, the next thing when I opened my eyes, I was on the floor with a headache. And I looked up and I saw my Father standing above me. And he said, if you disrespect me, take your stuff and go somewhere else. If you don't have respect for me, how come you call me an Old Toppy? I says, I heard my friends call their father Old Toppy, and their fathers actually appreciated, they liked it. He says, well, I'm not your Old Toppy. If you don't want to say to me Father, then you call me Mr. Reetlinghuis. But you don't call me an Old Toppy or an Old Bali. Is that understood? And by that time I would start getting up and I says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. It's just, as a youngster I thought, because the others were calling the Father that way. He says, I'm not, you are not them, and I am not their Father. That's the only time in my life that I was disrespectful to my Father, ever. I had so much respect for my Father. Now, why do I tell you this? Indication. I just want to say my lips stood like this for a couple of days because he nearly took out my teeth with one clop like that. He just gave me a flatter. Didn't even hit me with a fist. He just gave me a slap. And my jaw was nearly broken. Took me a couple of days to get everything right. But he actually knocked respect into me. What do I learn from that? When I come in the presence of Yahweh, I don't talk about the old man sitting on a cloud somewhere. I heard these people, oh God, you know that you, the old man up there with the white hair. Disrespectful. You can't expect a miracle when you address the Creator of heaven and earth in that way. If my Father were touched by the way I disrespect Him, how much more do you think that Yahweh are touched by the way that we disrespect, I don't, that you maybe disrespect him. And I want to say something, this is maybe the problem why your prayers are not answered. Because if this is the way that we want to address the Creator of heaven and earth, our Father, who has given his Son for our redemption, and this is the way that we think we can address him and expect a miracle, this is maybe one of the problems, that your prayers are not answered. Try to be respectful. And the other thing is, when we start to pray, we just don't start to beg. The car needs new tires, and the car needs to be serviced, and we need to put a new roof on it. Those are things that comes later, where you come with a thankful heart. So when we start to pray, we first pray and thank Yahweh for all the good things that we have in life, and every good deed. And you know what is the best of all? Is being born again out of water and the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, I'm not finished. I want to talk about this a bit more tomorrow morning, but time has caught up with us. Till tomorrow morning, if his Father's will, Maranatha. Yahshua is coming back again. Hallelujah.